Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Cairo, Egypt, for the latest insight into the chaos that has followed the intervention by the army that was supposed to prevent the chaos engulfing this divided country. One of the organizers of the revolution 2 years ago, Jawad Nabulsi, a businessman turned community organizer who was shot and is blind in one eye, joins us. He will discuss the role of the old guard Mubarak police, who are now trying to capture the counter-revolution against the Islamists by going after both the Islamists and activists like Jawad, who brought about the original revolution. Then we will speak with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Leslie Gelb, who was Assistant Secretary of State in the Carter administration and is the author of Power Rules, How Common Sense Can Rescue American Foreign Policy. We will discuss China and Russia's role in the Snowden case and Leslie Gelb's article in Sunday's New York Times, A New Anti-American Axis, that argues Russia and China now see less cost in challenging the United States and fewer rewards for acting as a partner. Then finally, we'll look into the latest effort by Wall Street to overturn efforts at financial reform that were enacted in the wake of the 2008 crash. Bartlett Naylor, the former chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee and financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch, joins us to discuss the brazen Senate bill, the Independent Agency Regulatory Analysis Act, introduced by Senators Portman and Collins and Democrat Mark Warner, that would neutralize and render impotent the Security and Exchange Commission, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the National Labor Relations Board. Joining us now from Cairo is Jawad Nabulsi, who's one of the organizers of the Egyptian Revolution 2 years ago, during which he created the first medical treatment center for those wounded in the revolution. He himself was shot and is blind in one eye. A businessman turned community organizer, he has since been working to make sure the revolution benefits the poor. Jawad founded the Nebni Foundation, which tries to empower young people to participate in shaping Egypt's economy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jawad Nabulsi.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
And Jawad, I guess the questions at the moment are over whether or not El Baradei will in fact be the prime minister. The interim president, Adni Mansour, says consultations are continuing, and apparently the Salafist Nur party, which came in second in the parliamentary elections, they say they won't work with him. So in terms of who's running Egypt at the moment, who's in charge?
I think there isn't one party in charge, so there is different power struggles going on right now. So definitely you have the army, the military power, and the intelligence. You have the revolutionaries, and they have some popular support. And you have the Muslim Brotherhood and some of their Islamic support. And you have the Nur Party and their organization backing, Islamic organization backing. So all these factors are really in discussions and in power struggles, trying to reach some kind of compromise, which is not easy right now.
So do you think the worst is over, in as much as there was a demonstration about 5,000 supporters of Morsi crossed the October bridge, about 4,000 in Cairo. I guess the real question is, when you have 17 million people in the streets against the Morsi government, 22 million Egyptians signed a petition asking him to go, yet he does have support. So this is clearly a divided country. At this point, is the military operating as a referee to keep the factions apart, and are the Islamists still angry, or are they likely to calm down?
No, I think the Islamists are still angry, and unfortunately, they are gaining support because of the stupidity of some of the police forces, and they coming back in brutal ways, and videotaping these videotapes showing around in social media, and people are starting again to sympathize and are starting to realize that the police have not learned the lesson. So unfortunately, the youth and the revolutionaries have done a great success in terms of gaining the popular support. But what's happening right now, a lot of this popular support is being slipped away because of some of the old regime and Suzanne Mubarak coming back on TV. And, you know, it's just the old regime is acting very stupid, and they're trying to portray this as a win against the revolution, and they still have not learned the lesson. So actually, the struggle is not over at all. I mean, and I think the army really does not know what they're going to do right now, because they can see two factors. Yes, there has been a huge protest by the 70 million people, 20 million people. This is a reality. Nobody could deny it, but it's not over yet.
So the police, of course, have been absent since Morsi took over. They've been very hostile towards him. And what you're saying is that they are taking advantage of this second revolution brought about by the very same people who created the first revolution. And you, of course, participated in that. And those people that brought about the first revolution felt in many ways cut out of power. They've made this comeback via the people, but now the police are sort of taking advantage of the situation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and a lot of people in the old regime are actually threatening us and telling us, you guys are next.
So they really believe that they believe they're back in power, that this is a...
Yes.
But are they deluded enough to believe that the people support them? Surely they don't. The people don't support them, either the Islamists or the reformers.
Yeah, I mean, this is the issue. You just feel that they are. I don't know. They really don't want to believe that there has been a revolution against them, and they're coming back and they're using brutal force. And people, a lot of the people who are in the middle ground are seeing that. And they're saying, okay, is this what's going to happen right now? And one of the reasons why a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood who want to maybe go back will not go back, because they're seeing now that a lot of people are being taken into jail and being, you know, put back in jail. So for them, it's like a life and death situation. So there's no way they're going to go back. So you're not even leaving an exit window for people who want to have some kind of reconciliation. So when we talk to the other factors, they say, you know, you're seeing, as you see, the police is coming back. They are detaining people. They're closing the channels. They're being very aggressive. Why would we go back or do any kind of compromise? We will be wiped out. And that's not the way to go or build the country. You cannot take one factor out and leave a factor in. And this is a mistake of Morsi, because he did not clean up the mess, and he tried to win the old regime back again, and that was his fault. This is a mistake. And no, there hasn't been one policeman who was committed or accused of any crime regards to the people who died during the revolution. No one. All the policemen were committed. Even Mubarak, you know, he was free of all charges. So that's, yeah, I can only blame Morsi, and it's coming back again. And Morsi was coming back again at the revolutionaries and the youth and putting them in jail. So it's a really screw up by the Muslim Brotherhood. They screwed up big time, and it's just a really bad situation right now, like extremely bad. And we're trying to talk to different people, but it's extremely complicated.
Again, I'm speaking with Jawad Nabulsi, who's one of the organizers of the Egyptian Revolution 2 years ago, during which he created the first medical treatment center for those wounded in the revolution. He himself was shot and is blind in one eye. A businessman turned community organizer, he has since been working to make sure the revolution benefits the poor. And Jawad founded the Nebni Foundation, which tries to empower young people to participate in shaping Egypt's economy. He joins us from Cairo. So, is the military then, the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair has said that, you know, obviously military coups, getting rid of the first democratically elected Egyptian government is on the surface not a good thing. Nobody could defend that. But Tony Blair has basically said in an op-ed in the British Observer, said that that the military had no choice. It was either intervention or chaos. So, but is the military moving against the police? It sounds like the police are operating completely without any control. And so what's the relationship between the military and the police who are trying to steal the revolution?
From what I see right now, the military is has their hands full, and they are not in control of the police. The police is back on the streets. They're trying to take order, which they should have done actually the year ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they can put some order right now, why they haven't done it before? And I really think the police is acting on their own right now, and because they know the military is really busy in what's happening. So, and the problem is when I'm talking to the policemen right now, they have not really got over us doing to what we did to them. And they are looking for revenge. And I'm telling you, the threats are coming up. They are saying, oh, you guys are next. And you will see what's happening right now. They're, and this is something maybe you can quote me right now. They will start to create some legal cases against us, corruption cases, and try to put us in jail in different ways. So they have the ground clear of any opposition, you know, whether liberal, Islamist, revolutionary, and now they can say, you know what, it's back for the old regime to come back. So to answer your question, I don't think the military now has the effort or the power to control the police, which is causing a lot of damage right now.
Who is the strategist for the police? Who have decided to steal this revolution and believe somehow that they can make a comeback?
I think it's the institutional mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
The institutional consensus that, you know, there wasn't a revolution, right? And there is no way we have been broken out that way. And we will come back. And they had this thought, you know, the past year. And when you talk to policemen, they haven't really swallowed the idea that because of the brutality, because of the secret police, because of all this, this is why the revolution happened. No, they think, no, they really tried to brush it off. So nobody worked on the mindset of the police to reform the police and to take out, I can even say the names of the policemen who used to raid our house and come in the middle of the night and take us and all that, is still in power, has been there. And I told the Muslim Brotherhood, this guy, his name is Hisham Tawfiq, he's still in power, right? He's still in the police. How come? They told me, oh, be patient. It's going to take time. I was like, be patient. Okay, watch. Just watch. And that's what happened.
There's no question that Morsi was incompetent and rigid and inflexible and in many ways boneheaded. And you are saying that you, in the secular opposition, kept trying to tell the Muslim Brotherhood that they've got to rein in the police, and they never did it. And the police now went after them first, but now they're turning on you and the very people who brought about the original revolution. So, and what you've told us is that the military have their hands full, and they're not moving against the police. So, what can be done?
At that certain point in time, let me tell you the situation as you maybe summarized, because I don't see a way really out right now. I mean, the Baradei was nominated prime minister. The Noor party is against it. The police are doing some really foolish moves, which is giving a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood and their supporters ground and giving them some momentum. And now, today, there are protests going down the streets in support of the June 30th. So, you know, I think right now I can't claim that I have an answer. I just see it's a deadlock. One of the major issues that I was talking about is the current president has full authority, legislation, executive, and he has all the authorities, which is really scary as well. So I think now there's a lot of negotiations going on, and it's not really clear.
But what is clear is that Mubarak and his regime were there for decades. They created this monster, the police, didn't they? I mean, an enormous number of I don't know what the percentage of the population are either police informants or members of the police, and a lot of them are plainclothes and secret police, aren't they? They're not just in uniform.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I don't want to only say the police, but there's other government entities that are also playing on the ground.
So these are the leftovers from Mubarak, who are they're the brains behind it, and the brawn are the police, but the brains are the leftover Mubarak people. Is that how it's working?
And these people should have been put aside in a proper way or prosecuted for what the things that they have done.
And you kept trying to tell the Muslim Brotherhood to do that, and they didn't listen.
And I said by names, I can tell you, Amr Darragh, which is the Freedom and Justice Party head of the Foreign Affairs, I met him in Washington, D.C., and his group, and I told him names, and I told him about people, and I told him about what's happening on the ground. I told him, in the beginning, I tried to help Morsi on the ground. We are working on the ground, right? And we are trying to help people. I have been working on opening a medical center for the past 2 years. One of the things that that was hurting me to open the center was because they told me I didn't have a political umbrella. Basically, I did not have a Muslim Brotherhood brand name. And I told them, you know, you made me hate you because you didn't let me work on the ground and help the people. You wanted people that you trusted to work on the ground so they gain public support. And this is the result of what you've done. And now, you know, it's a very crazy situation, and I think, you know, they can just blame themselves. And now we're trying to find a way out, at least getting a prime minister that has some kind of consensus. We don't want it to turn into Islamists versus liberal, because this will be a very ugly game.
And just in closing, Jawad Nambulsi, the U.S. appears to be powerless. Is there anything that the U.S. can do?
I think the U.S. can emphasize on the military not coming back, you know, and not in any way. I think the U.S. can just basically try to be quiet, you know, because whatever they say really can ripple effect and harm anyone. So the first thing, the only thing that I think they can do is just being very, they only have some kind of leverage. I won't say they have much leverage on the military, but they have some kind of leverage to ensure that there will be no military takeover, whether in the short or the near future or on the long term. So that's the very clear message that has to be taken right now. And they will not accept any violation for any human rights by any government entity whatsoever, against anyone, against liberals, Islamists, against anyone. We did not do the revolution, so the Islamists will be put back in jail. That's not who we are. We have basic principles that we go by that is going to go around everyone.
Well, Jawad Nambulsi, I thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jawad Nambulsi, who is one of the organizers of the Egyptian Revolution 2 years ago, during which he created the first medical treatment center for those wounded in the revolution. He himself was shot and is blind in one eye. A businessman turned community organizer, he has since been working to make sure the revolution benefits the poor. And Jawad founded the Nebni Foundation, which tries to empower young people to participate in shaping Egypt's economy. He joined us from Cairo.